My name is Alvin Capitaco, and this is the NCCHCA podcast. In this edition, my guest will talk to us about the Connecting Kids to Coverage program and how the NCCHCA is using the Connecting Kids to Coverage grant to enroll medically uninsured children in the state of North Carolina for the Children's Health Insurance Program, CHIP.
My name is Tamara Jones. I am the Connecting Kids to Coverage Coordinator, and I have been working on this project for a year and a half. And that is also the length of time that I've been at the association.
So what are some of the highlights and lessons that you learned while working on this grant?
So the association received the grant the summer of 2019, and the grant, which it's actually a cooperative agreement, so we are working together with CMS along with our community health center members to connect low-income children and parents to Medicaid and CHIP and the health insurance marketplace. And so the goal of the project is to enroll uninsured children and parents and also help them with the renewal process. I will say, with COVID, the project looks a lot different from when it first started. We have suspended counting renewals simply because due to the public health emergency, renewals are no longer being counted because that has been suspended by North Carolina Medicaid. So they did that in order to keep people enrolled into the program. At this point, we're not helping with the renewal process, but we are helping uninsured parents and children enroll in health insurance, which we've seen an increase of that need due to people losing their job-based coverage. And so I think some of the lessons that we've learned, it's definitely being able to, it's really important to adapt. So the strategies that we've started working on and we're working well, which is the tabling events and getting out in the communities, that had to change due to COVID. And so that is just being able to change and adapt and always thinking of innovative strategies to reach potentially eligible children and parents is a huge lesson learned. And part of that is having a system in place for parents and children who come into your clinic. So we actually require, and we've been NCCHCA required every health center on this project to have an internal workflow system in place. So if someone comes in, you are able to screen them for eligibility and then have a process in place with either front desk staff or call center staff or whoever the patient interacts with and get them referred to a Connecting Kids to Coverage staff person. That also another lesson learned is having a system in place for parents and children who do not speak English. That has been super critical because we've learned that some of our staff members that were hired, they were not bilingual, which is totally fine, but just having a way to communicate and explain insurance is an important strategy. And so whether it's using someone in this health center or technology, but having that and not having that as a barrier to assist Spanish-speaking consumers was also a huge lesson learned.
Can you also just expand a little bit more on the program and the reasons for it, like also explain who is eligible and what are the benefits for some of these kids?
Yes, so the program is for uninsured children and parents. Unfortunately, we are unable to account childless adults, so they are not eligible. And I'll talk a little bit more about that and how that plays a role. But so it's only for uninsured children and parents and who are eligible for Medicaid and CHIP in the state. And so Medicaid has its own set of requirements where you must be an individual who is a resident or in North Carolina, and or you must be entered into North Carolina to seek employment or with a job commitment. So you really have to have either residency or intent to reside here. And so that is one requirement. And another requirement is you have to be a citizen or a qualified alien, and you have to meet the income requirements and also be the population that Medicaid covers in North Carolina. So North Carolina Medicaid only covers certain types of people, that being pregnant women, children under 21, and CHIP does, which is a children's health insurance program. It lasts through age 18, but if a child was in foster care or a full-time student, they can get Medicaid until 21. Medicaid also covers parents of dependent children and the disabled and elderly and women with breast or cervical cancer. And so there are other limited programs for specific populations, such as Medicaid for family planning. But in terms of this project, we're really focusing on the pregnant women, the parents, or the children. And so that's Medicaid. And then so CHIP is a little different. So Medicaid covers up to 138% of the federal poverty level. And it is a little bit higher for CHIP. So that covers up to 211. So if a child is not eligible due to their parents' income, if they're not eligible for Medicaid, they will be eligible for CHIP. So that's a way to get those children covered. But I will say for North Carolina, it touches on the challenge. It's been very difficult. The threshold for working parents is 47% of the federal poverty level. So you have to have a very low income to be eligible for Medicaid in North Carolina. So that's been a challenge for us.
The federal poverty level is a measure of income issued annually by the Department of Health and Human Services. It is used to determine an individual's eligibility for certain programs and benefits, including savings on marketplace health insurance, Medicaid, and CHIP coverage.
Due to the threshold being so low, it's really hard to find those eligible parents that are able to meet eligibility requirements for Medicaid. And so we've found that a lot of them are in that coverage gap. And so since North Carolina has not expanded Medicaid, the threshold was difficult for households to meet. So that 47%. So they fall in that coverage gap, meaning they make too much for Medicaid in North Carolina, but they don't make enough to receive health insurance subsidies in the health exchange, or the health insurance marketplace. And so that's where a lot of our parents are falling into that coverage gap, where they make too much for Medicaid, because a parent with two children who earn $12,000, they would make too much for Medicaid in North Carolina, which $12,000 that's an extremely low income to make in order to be eligible for Medicaid. And so in order to receive health insurance subsidies for the health exchange marketplace, they would have to earn $25,100 to even get assistance. So that is what we're running to a lot with the parents and the children that we're trying to assist.
I'd like for us to talk a little bit on the health disparities. And I'm just wondering, like, how does that affect kids? And also, how is this program helping to bridge the gap?
Yeah, so health insurance coverage varies dramatically by race. In North Carolina, 36% of all uninsured children are Latino, with 11% of Latino children being uninsured. And so in addition, more than 30% of Medicaid-eligible parents in North Carolina, they remain uninsured. And so what Connecting Kids to Coverage does, they aim to help bridge those disparities by reaching out to the subgroups of children that have lower than average coverage rates, such as children in rural areas, teens, Native Americans, and Hispanics, and also the Connecting Kids to Coverage staff, they target populations that are harder to reach, including the homeless population. And we also provide at NCCHCA trainings focused on reaching these harder to reach populations to try to bridge those health disparities, coverage gaps that we're finding in these subgroups.
And how many children are registered in the program?
So we are in year two of the program, and so far about 300 families have been counted through the Connecting Kids to Coverage program. Now, we do believe that there have been more assisted, but just could not be counted towards the grants because of they were outside of the target population. So for example, those childless adults, when they make an appointment and they're screened and are found to be not eligible, if there's available staff at the health center, we do suggest that the Connecting Kids to Coverage staff refer them to them, but they are also welcome to assist those families that may fall outside the target population. But so we do believe that they've helped more than the 300 families, but they just could not be counted for the program. Some of the successes would be we are able to help and assist a lot of people who are moving into North Carolina. And so families who come here who have no idea about North Carolina Medicaid, we are finding a lot of stories where our Connecting Kids to Coverage staff are able to locate them and get them enrolled into North Carolina Medicaid and explain to them the benefits and what they receive. And that has been a huge help for those families that are moving in to North Carolina. Another success story would be our Connecting Kids to Coverage staff are assisting the families that are going through, that are being affected by COVID. So losing their jobs and as a result, losing their job-based coverage and also needing other assistance. So our enrollment assisters in this program not only assist with health insurance, so they're able to help with food and nutrition benefits, otherwise known as SNAP. So when COVID hit, we've had a lot of stories from our Connecting Kids to Coverage subgrantees about really helping people who are in dire need of food. And they were able to link them to food pantries. A lot of our health centers on working on this project have great connections with food banks because they are doing outreach to get families who may be eligible enrolled in insurance. But through those partnerships, they've learned that when COVID hit, they were able to also assist with either families getting enrolled with SNAP or even connecting them to the food banks and also unemployment. So the same system and relationships and partnerships that they've built for this program to help with insurance has really helped them become play an important role with COVID happening and these families needing assistance beyond health insurance. So a lot of success stories there with helping people who are just really scared and nervous and not sure where to go and who to turn, and Connecting Kids to Coverage staff have been there to help those families in need.
Okay, and can you talk to us about the federally qualified health centers that received grants for this program? And also, like, what is the criteria for selecting these FQHCs and that were selected, and how did these help communities, like, and how are they sort of advocating for the success of this program?
Yeah, so I will say I wasn't a part of the selection process. That did happen before I came aboard. But the health centers that were selected, the six health centers that were selected to be on this project, they submitted application. So it was an application process, and they had to explain why they would be an asset to this project. And they and NCCHCA looked at their partnerships that they had in the community, as well as the staff that they had to dedicate to this project and were able to make the decision of six health centers that eventually were funded for this project. I can't speak to how they are helping communities and how those health centers are advancing and advocating for the success of connecting kids to coverage. All of the health centers involved are doing a lot of work on the ground, talking to different businesses and different organizations on how they can assist either their target population or if the organization or the partner that they're talking with run into a situation or a family that may benefit from their services, that they can always refer them to them. So they're doing a lot of work to get the message out and to raise awareness of the program to make sure it's a success. They're sharing and creating different social media posts and videos to make sure that they are reaching not only the target population, but also partners and potential partners that could help find and assist the families that may be eligible for this program. As I mentioned before, they're really trying to find different unique strategies to reach families that may be eligible for this project, such as setting up systems. So some of these health centers some were new to this idea, and some have been doing this for a while of having referral systems or warm handoffs being done if a family is potentially eligible for assistance. When I say warm handoff, it's really a transfer of care between two people. So if the front desk staff cannot help them, then they will just walk them over, or it could just be calling the phone and saying, hey, I have this person here that may need assistance. And then the person can come and give them, you know, some information that they're needing. But it's a preferred approach than just saying, well, here, call this number and they'll be able to help you. But if you're able to physically or even give a call to someone in the health center that can provide them with more information and to help them at that time, then they're less likely to fall between the cracks. Because we all know if you give them a number to call, they may not even call it, just to minimize the barriers for the potential consumers, because they know if they don't want anyone to fall through the cracks. And so they've really set up these referral processes that have been successful in finding and uninsured children and families. And the health centers utilize a case management approach to follow up with anyone who is unable to make an appointment that day, or they may need assistance for other assistance, for example, SNAP. So all of our health centers, they utilize a case management approach to follow up with families, to complete the process, to confirm enrollment, and to renew their coverage and just access. And also when they do receive coverage, to make sure they understand the benefits and have access to appropriate care after enrollment. And so they play a huge part in getting the word out, advocating for the project, and making sure the consumers and beneficiaries, when they do receive coverage, are able to understand what they're receiving and being there for them, for anyone else that may need coverage that they may know.
To conclude our interview, I asked Tamira if she thinks the Connecting Kids to Coverage program would achieve higher rates of coverage if more parents were covered with Medicaid.
Absolutely. North Carolina has not expanded Medicaid, as you all know. And so parents who receive Medicaid or CHIP are less likely to qualify for Medicaid compared to the expansion states. And we know that parents who are covered are more likely to have children covered. And so right now, with that threshold for parents being at 47% of the federal poverty level, that is very difficult for many households to meet. And so if more parents were covered, I completely agree that more children would be covered as a result and not fall into that coverage gap that we're seeing now, where they just don't qualify for Medicaid because they earn too much, but also cannot earn subsidies in the federal marketplace.